In this episode of Social Media Secrets, we are going to talk about a seriously disturbing trend I have seen on social media, and that is paying for fake likes. Yeah, it's going to get pretty deep here, okay? So let's cue that intro and dive on in. Hey, I'm Rachel Peterson, marketing expert and queen of social media. The question entrepreneurs are always asking is, how do I make social media work? How do I make money with social media for my clients and for myself? We're going to break it down on this episode of Social Media Secrets. Hey guys, it's me, your host, Rachel Peterson, the host of Social Media Secrets with Rachel Peterson. So it's obviously clear that I am the host. But I'm super excited to share this with you guys today because recently I started to kind of dive in to some of the engagement from some popular or semi-popular influencers, entrepreneurs, business owners, people that in the past didn't have a ton of engagement on Instagram. And what's shocking to me was how quickly I found a trend. Now, this is really crazy, and I want to be honest about this with you guys. I'm going to rant pretty hard here, but before I do, I want to be super clear about this because every person who pays for Instagram likes and fake engagement is dealing with some serious issues themselves. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that they need to see like a therapist or anything like that. What I'm saying is, like, it is a very scary thing putting your heart out there, putting your message out there, putting your business out there. It's especially scary not when you put it out to big audiences, but it's especially scary when you put it out to crickets and you know that other people are seeing that. So before we dive on in here, I don't want to create any hate or extra turmoil towards people who pay for fake engagement, because truth be told, for me, it's the biggest indication that they actually don't feel super confident in either their message or the way that they show up. And chances are somebody really tore them down at some point for having low engagement. So just be super clear with me, okay, that I am not saying anything against people who pay for engagement, but we're going to talk about why it's dangerous. We're going to talk about how it affects your overall social media and what you can do instead and the processes that I've gone through instead of buying engagement. Okay, now we are talking specifically about any platform that you can pay for fake engagement on. What do I mean by fake engagement? I mean literally paid pods, paid bots that are fake profiles that you can hire to like spam like your content. These usually are used on Instagram. Sometimes they're used on YouTube. And if you guys don't believe me, just go on over to like Fiverr and look up fake likes. And it's crazy. Like, you can get likes for $5, $10, $50 for a pack. It's just the weirdest thing, but it is not a good practice. So please don't go buy them before we talk about this. You can also pay for fake engagement on TikTok. You can pay for fake engagement on Facebook. You can pay for fake engagement on LinkedIn. Why would someone do this? You might be wondering, why would someone pay for fake likes when it means nothing, right? Okay, number one, they may be super embarrassed of content that they've put out in the past that didn't get many likes. I'm gonna be so honest, I get embarrassed at times when I put out something that I think is amazing. And by the way, what I think is amazing isn't usually what performs on social media. Isn't that interesting? So when I write like my poetry, I write a lot of poetry. I usually now just put it in my journal. It doesn't perform well except for on Twitter. Usually it doesn't do well on Instagram, doesn't do well on Facebook, but I will only put it either on Twitter or in my journal, because when I put my heart into a piece of poetry and then I put it out there and then it doesn't do anything, I'm like, okay, you know, I can put that out there, or I can just put it in my journal, collect them, and then one day maybe release them or maybe not. So what's interesting though is people are embarrassed to sometimes put stuff out there and be like, I'm not getting any engagements and I'm putting my heart into this. And I get it, you guys. I put out content on my Instagram especially that gets at times very little engagement. But I want to share the behind the scenes of why I do that. Now, back about 3 years ago while I was pregnant with my third kid, Dominic, I remember I hired this growth hacker to help me grow my Instagram. I think at that point I had like 26,000 followers on Instagram, and I wanted so badly. Like, you guys know those girls that put up like one picture of themselves and they get like 5,000 likes? I wanted that. I'm just gonna be honest, like shallow, approval seeking, people pleasing me wanted an Instagram like that. I wanted hundreds of thousands of followers. So I hired this growth hacker, and he just started putting up these spammy posts. And I was like, are you sure this is the way to grow? And he's like, yes. And he hired and did these things called super likes. Those are also, you know, like the paid likes, the robots, the bots, fake followers, etc. It's basically you pay for fake engagement, and supposedly that helps to blow you up in the algorithm. I just don't buy it. But basically, like, my account started growing significantly. It grew to 120,000 followers on Instagram. But the problem was, any time that I posted a real photo of me, my family, my life, something I believed in, it would completely be silent. And anytime I didn't pay for a super like or a paid bot, guess what? Those posts stuck out like sore thumbs, because they were like 75 likes, and then the next one was 3,000 likes, and 5,000 likes, and 1,000 likes, and then it was like 13 likes. So it ended up creating a negative cycle for my Instagram, number one, my trust score with Instagram, but number two, my account was seen as like a super spammy account. It brought in a lot of people who didn't care who I was, didn't care what my message was, didn't care what I believed in. And so when I finally like realized, okay, something's off, this isn't right, I was going to take it back, but then I went into labor with my third kid, Dominic, in April of 2018. Man, great mom. But as I was literally in the hospital, my team realized that my Instagram got shut down. And that was because the person that was growth hacking my Instagram wasn't crediting the quotes that he was taking. He was just taking people's graphics, posting them as my own. And I didn't really see through it, / didn't quite understand, / it was too late already because the damage had been done. Thankfully, about a month later, I was able to actually get my Instagram back, thanks to Josh. He is amazing. He's Josh Ryan. He's an awesome Instagram expert, and he helped me to get my account back. But then I ultimately applied for verification. It took several times. I got it because I was at like 120,000 followers. Keep in mind, most of them are like totally spammy followers. They don't care about me, don't care about my content. And I proceeded to bleed followers and have tanking engagement for 2 years. Now, guys, when I started to put these videos or these pieces of content out there and they were completely bombing, I was a little bit embarrassed. And by a little bit, I mean there were people who were straight up creating blogs and content about how I was such a fake and a phony and how I had all these fake followers. And I think the reason I was embarrassed wasn't because I was getting low engagement. It was more because I knew that I had hired someone that I allowed to represent my brand on a social platform, and they employed techniques and tactics that I don't generally agree with. Does that make sense? That was more of the breakdown for me, and the frustration and the embarrassment, and then how do I tell people the mistake I made? That being said, suddenly I'm putting out content and I'm getting 60 likes, 50 likes, maybe 120 likes, and I have 120,000 followers. I'm losing followers every single day. So I get what it's like to be embarrassed or to not be able to understand how to get out of it. Now, just over the last few months, we were able to get out of that negative cycle. And what I want to share with you guys is that leaning into the discomfort of content that is flopping massively is one of the best things I've ever done. Because one of two things happens while you're sitting there pouring your heart out, putting content out there that is totally not performing. Number one, somewhere amidst you putting that content out there and no one seeing it, maybe one day someone sees it and shares it and you don't know who that person is, but then their friend shares it and then someone else shares it. And that's how a piece of content goes viral. So if you really believe in your message and the way that you're sharing it, maybe you just keep showing up over and over and over again. And finally people are like, maybe I should listen. Or the second thing, and this is really neat, you start to realize, what if there's a better way to present my content? What if the reason that it's flopping is because I haven't learned how to get them out of my own dang way and start to realize what other people's experience is? Truth be told, you guys, a lot of the techniques and tactics that I'm going to put in air quotes, big influencers use on Instagram aren't actually the most effective things. They teach a lot of courses on it too, which is interesting. Those aren't the most effective ways. If you guys want to see someone who's crushing it on Instagram as a micro influencer, but a very influential person, Kat Abionic is one of my favorite people to follow. I've connected with her. I've crushed on her Instagram advice. But she basically was like, stop making your Instagram about you, Rachel. It's not about you. Just like anything else, TikTok is not about you. YouTube is not about you. That is one of the most wonderfully humbling processes I've ever been through. I need to make sure, you need to make sure, we need to make sure that ourselves and our clients every single day are showing up thinking of the people that we want to serve first. And that is how engagement is created. Engagement isn't created when you're like, wow, look at me. I'm so awesome. Like, look at how amazing my life is. Engagement is created when you put something out there that someone else says, thank God I'm not the only one that feels this way. Wow, I'm so glad this relates to me. And you may be a part of the story behind it, and you may be a catalyst for that thought process, but you have to stop making it about yourself. When I put out posts that are like, me and the kids had so much fun at the park today, why would anyone care? And I mean this in like the best way. I mean this in the most humbling way. Even a semi-influencer is not what people think it is. It's not about me. It's about helping other people to navigate the crazy, weird things that you feel like no one else is going through. Or to be able to say, like, you know, that thought I had last night about my lack of engagement, what if I start sharing what I learned in that process and someone else says, oh my gosh, thank you. I am so glad I am not the only one that feels that way. Thank you. So literally, I was thinking about this like last night, because just last week we had our first big viral Instagram post in a long time. And it was very rewarding, not because we went viral. Going viral is actually pretty simple. I'm going to be honest with you guys. It's pretty simple on like TikTok. It's fairly simple on Instagram. Sometimes it happens on Facebook. Like, actually going viral is not truly that hard. What was challenging for me was digging back out of the hole of self-doubt, embarrassment, low engagement, etc. So that viral was extra special because it was like, woohoo, look, we're like growing again and it's exciting. But that viral was a sign that on Instagram, I finally got out of my own darn way and started to realize how to communicate to people. And I have to say that straight up, you guys, TikTok is what was the catalyst for being able to go viral on Instagram again. What I mean that by that is that for the first time ever, I had to go back into that phase of not having big following. A year ago, I had 12,000 followers on TikTok. And that season of not having tons of people who loved my content. 2 years ago, I had no followers on TikTok. But starting back up from the ground, helped me to look at all of my work. So how do you know if an influencer is faking it? We're going to talk about that in just a second, what to do instead. But the process of realizing, like, it's not about me. It's about the people who are coming across this content and how it makes them feel. That was one of the best pieces of advice. Now, granted, you guys, there is a special category of people who do go viral, and that is the superlatives. The funniest, the prettiest, there's a lot of people who win the prettiest, right? Different portions of the population think that they're the prettiest, the fittest, the best body. And just so you guys know, I'm not saying this to say that that's who we need to be in any way. The people that are the smartest, the people who get the biggest book deals or opportunities, like those types of people actually do perform well. And then, of course, there's the unicorns who just blow up overnight. That happens. It does happen. It's very rare. But if you're like me, like I feel a lot more normal. Like I'm a mom of three. I've got a stretched out stomach. No one wants to see pictures of me in a swimsuit on Instagram. Like that's just not going to bring in followers. And so what's interesting though about it is though, if we are not the superlatives and we are not the unicorns, we need to step back and say, okay, but what if I can be the most understanding of my audience? What if I can be the one that is the most compassionate? What if I can be the one that makes people think the most? What if I can be the most consistent? What if I can be the most encouraging or the most relatable? Like those are the types of superlatives that we can work with, but all of those relate to the audience that we want to reach and connect with. So today, as I've been thinking about this the last week, I went to several, air quote, influencers' Instagram profiles and started to see some things that hadn't happened in the past. And what's interesting is all of these people had baselines. Now, what I mean by baselines is the same thing is true on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. Each piece of content is its own silo. And while overall the account can start to have higher and higher baselines, you don't just go from having no likes to suddenly having 1,000 on every post. Like that doesn't happen. And if you notice that no matter what someone's posting, they have 650 likes within like the first hour, and that happens every single time, and 650 is the baseline every single time, that's not real life. Real life is fluctuation. Real life is sometimes posts will only get 200 likes. Sometimes a post will get 6,000. So if you notice over and over and over again that someone's content is going back and forth between a small range, maybe it's 600 to 800, and every single post falls in that range, that's a good sign that that person is buying baseline fake likes by bots. Now, if that's the range they keep falling in over and over and none are like super viral and some are super low, the crazy thing is I started looking into their likes and it was a bunch of people who don't even follow them. That's sign number one that someone purchased likes. Sign number two, this is nothing against this is nothing against these countries. I actually love these countries, but generally speaking, these bots are located in India, and actually, that's pretty much it. They're almost always located in India, and so suddenly, if there's a huge influx of people who are liking posts that are from India, that's also a good sign that potentially posts engagements bot, but also a lot of these profiles are fake. They're private. They're kids. They have only 6 to 20 posts altogether on their Instagram. And so as I was going through these different people's engagement, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a lot more common than we even realize. Now, here's the danger with this. Number one, the danger is you're actually literally signaling to anyone who knows what they're actually looking for, that your engagement is fake, and that instantly is a red flag for sponsorships. That's a red flag from Instagram. That's a red flag for anyone who actually knows what they're looking for. They can see through that. Okay, so keep that in mind. But number two, now you're stuck in a cycle of buying likes forever. And it's not cheap. It's actually a surprising amount of money to keep it up forever. That's exhausting and expensive. And it provides absolutely zero return on investment. So that's a dead cost for vanity metrics alone. Now I get it. Social proof is awesome. Wonderful. Great. Send it to people that you love and trust. Send it to your most loyal fans and say, hey, can you guys hype this up in exchange for swag or whatever, right? Like, feel free to do that. Social proof is awesome. Feel free to run an ad campaign to a specific post and get more engagement from audiences that engage regularly. But here's the thing, when it's fake, like literally fake, literally, it blows my mind, because here's what it does. It sets everyone else up for failure. It sets up everyone else to think that in order to be successful, they should be getting a baseline of 600 likes. They should be getting a baseline of 1,000 likes on every single post. And that is not real life. Real life is sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes your post goes viral, and sometimes your post flops massively. Sometimes your post gets a second wind later on. Sometimes you didn't explain what your message was clear enough, and you need to learn that lesson instead of trying to mask it with fake followers. It's a little bit like, now I know this is gonna be really controversial, but it's a little bit like Vegas. And I know people love Vegas, but when my husband and I go to Vegas, and we try to only go there for one reason now, and that's when we wanna see Celine Dion. We love Celine Dion, but there's something really weird about Vegas in that a lot of it feels like a veneer in certain portions of Vegas. And I remember we would like walk through and I'd be like, this column looks like it's expensive. And I'd tap on it and it was like cheap plastic and plaster. And I was like, but that's not actually like expensive real. It all feels like a cheap veneer. And the same thing is true when you buy your engagement on social media. Someday people are going to see through it. And get this, a lot of people start to see through Vegas at some point. They're like, I actually don't want to go to Vegas anymore if I'm not drinking, because it's actually kind of gross underneath all of the bright and shiny fake glitteriness, right? I want to go to Italy. I want to go to Rome. I want to go to Santorini. I want to go to the places that Vegas is emulating. And the same thing is true when one day your followers realize, like, no wonder I felt so disillusioned, because all of this was fake. And this may be for some people, by the way, remember, I understand and I get it. It's scary. It's very scary to put your content out there and not to know what's going to happen or to deal with low engagement. But it's also an opportunity for you to learn how to communicate with people and connect with people better. So if and when you're listening to this and you're like considering getting fake engagement for you or for your client, also realize that if you get big and you're still paying for fake engagement, there's a potential expose coming in the future, because if you don't learn lessons before you get big, it gets magnified and becomes a big issue. So just keep that in mind. I know that this is going to serve some people well, because truth be told, I wish that I had seen through this veneer years ago instead of beating myself up about not having the most popular Instagram in the world, right? Like, I wish I had known that. I wish that there had been a big sis to say, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So I hope that this episode has served you well. If you want to start learning the ways to really connect with your audience on a deeper level, check out the link in the podcast website, rachelpeterson.com/podcast. And there we have 13 content hacks and resources that are free or cheap that can support you in creating awesome content that connects deeply with your audience. I'll catch you guys in the next episode. Bye for now. Say